How can I know God's will? Why do I do what I don't want to do? How long should I keep praying? How can I stop worrying? Thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, as we continue with our series called Hard Questions, Pastor Rick Warren will share from God's Word in order to help us navigate through the muddy waters of life's seemingly unanswerable questions. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that you can take with you wherever you go. It will provide practical answers to any dilemma facing you. It's a book by Pastor Rick called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How Long Should I Keep Praying?
And that leads us to the fourth reason he says you should always pray and keep praying persistently is because persistent praying prepares my heart. Persistent praying prepares my heart for the answer. Now let me let you in on a little secret. When you pray and you make a request to God, almost always God wants to pray answer in a bigger and better way than you've prayed. Almost every time you make a prayer request, God wants to answer it in a bigger way and in a better way. You say, God, this is what I want. And God said, yeah, I could do that, but I would like to do it bigger and I would like to do it better. Now listen, the truth is, sometimes God denies your prayer request because you're thinking and you're asking too small. It's true. Sometimes God denies your prayer request because you are thinking and you are asking too small. He wants to give you something bigger and he wants to give you something better. But first, he has to prepare you for the bigger and better answer because you're not ready for it yet. And so God uses delays in answering prayer to help you grow, to help you get ready, to help prepare you for a bigger and better answer. Look at this verse in Ephesians 3:20. Read it with me. God can do much, much more than anything we ask or imagine. You know, personally, I am thankful to God that he has not answered all my prayer requests. And I'm also glad that God has not always answered my prayer request on my timetable. Because many times I'd think, God, I got to have it now. And looking back, I didn't have to have it then. God, if I'd got it then, it would have been a smaller answer. But because I waited, the answer was bigger and better. Let me give you an example. I prayed for land for Saddleback Church to be built on for 12 years, 11 months, and 13 days. I know the exact number of days that I prayed for land for this church. 12 years, 11 months, and 13 days. Why did it take so long before God answered that prayer? When I stood up at the very first service of Saddleback Church in 1980, and it was a trial run dress rehearsal service that we had for a few people prior to Easter Sunday, which was the first public service, 60 people showed up. I had never seen these 60 people in my life. I didn't know these people. And I got up and I announced the vision and dream of Saddleback Church, and I said, and I believe, as part of it, that God wants us to get and pray for and get 50 acres of land for our church to be built on. Now, I'm sure these 60 strangers are going, who is this guy? In the first place, I was 26 years old. I still had pimples. I mean, my voice hadn't even changed yet. Okay? And they're going, who is this pipsqueak? You know, he's out here saying, oh yeah, we're going to get 50 acres for a church. The average church in Mission Viejo probably has a quarter of an acre, not 50 acres. In that nationwide, the average church probably has maybe an acre of land. And I said, no, we're going to go for something 50 times bigger than the average church. And I'm sure people are going, who does he think he is? Well, I happen to know it's not who I am, it's who God is. You let the size of your God determine the size of your goal. But I thought I was thinking big, 50 acres. So why did it take nearly 13 years for us to get property? We had one delay after another, and then denials, and then dead ends, and we would put some money down on a piece of property, and we'd lose that piece of property, and we would go over here and find another, and we'd lose that piece. And for 13 years, one dead end after another, denial, dead end, delay. Why? Well, two reasons. One, God was building faith in us, and two, God wanted to answer in a bigger way. In the first place, God is far more interested in building disciples than he is in building buildings. And during all that process, God was maturing those of us who were here in those years. I'm not the same person I was 18 years ago. I got some battle scars on me. I've had some maturity, some development, some character development through delays and denials. And God was preparing me for a much bigger answer because God said, I don't want Saddleback to have 50 acres. I want you to have 120 acres, 2.5 times bigger. I thought I was thinking big, 50 times bigger than the average church. And God said, oh, no, no, not 50 acres, 120, 2.5 times bigger, because I'm going to bless you in a bigger way than you've ever imagined. And because we had all those delays, you have a parking spot. All right? And I look back now and I say, God wanted to put a bigger faith in us and give us a bigger answer. Now, you've all seen that bumper sticker that says, prayer changes things. And it's true, it does. But let me tell you something better than that. Prayer doesn't just change things, it changes you. And while you're waiting, God is working. What's he working? He's working on you. He's working on you. Prayer is not this kind of tug of war with God. You know, you think you're waiting on God to answer. Listen, God is waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Once you're developed, once you've matured, once you've obeyed, once you've done the things he wants done, bam, the answer's going to come. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. And once you've matured and developed and been prepared, the struggle isn't with God. It's primarily with ourselves. We have to get prepared to be blessed the way God wants to bless us. I know another missionary down in Southeast Asia who went to a small village in one of the Indonesian islands. And he went there and for 8 years he prayed that the people in that village would come to Christ. And he prayed it every day and he shared his faith and he loved those people and he sacrificed and he told them the good news and not one person converted. But he prayed it every day and he kept believing and trusting. And after 8 years, on one day, the chief and the tribal leaders and the entire village converted to Christ on one day. And in the next year, 12,000 new believers were baptized. God's timetable is perfect. He's never early, he's never late, he's always on time, and he wants to answer in a way that's bigger than better than you thought, so he's got to prepare you first. Now, how long do I keep on praying? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Ephesians 6:18, read this aloud with me. Pray all the time. Romans 12:2, read this with me. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, read it. Never stop praying. Now, look up here. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say you can stop praying just because you get discouraged. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can just give up and quit because the answer hasn't happened on your timetable. Well, I've been praying for this change in my life, but it hadn't happened. I've been praying for this miracle. I've been praying for this healing. I've been praying for my spouse to come back. I've been praying for a partner, all these things. Nowhere does it say you can stop just because you got tired and disgusted or discouraged. It says never stop praying. Keep on believing. Keep on asking. You say, Rick, is there ever a time when I can stop praying on a particular issue? Yes, there are two exceptions. You might want to write these down. There are two times when you can stop praying about a particular issue. Number one, when God changes a situation, you can stop praying. In other words, he answers your request. And the situation has changed. And what you've been praying for happens, then obviously you stop praying then. Number two, when God changes me, then I can stop praying. Sometimes, as God grows you and develops you, all of a sudden you realize, I don't want to pray for that anymore. Because that's not really what I want anymore. I wanted that in that immature stage of life, but now as I've matured, I don't need that anymore. So I'm not praying for that. Then God says, it's okay to stop praying. Because God has not changed the situation, but he changed you. Now, there's so many examples of persistent praying in our church. I want you to hear just one outstanding example today. Would you give a warm welcome to Dick and Carolyn?
Good morning. My husband Dick and I would like to share with you how persistent praying made all the difference in our lives. I can tell you that never in my wildest imagination did I think that someday Dick and I would find ourselves here standing before you talking about the power of prayer. Although I accepted Christ into my life many years ago, I didn't walk closely with him for nearly 30 years of my adult life. Instead of trusting in Christ, I trusted in myself. But because of other people persistently praying for me over the years, I returned to the Lord in 1990. After I came back to Christ, I found myself really wanting to get to know him in a deep and personal way. Of course, that means that I needed to learn to make prayer an integral part of my life. You can't build a relationship without communication, and you can't get to know Jesus without spending time in prayer. As I grew in my relationship with Christ, I began to express the true feelings of my heart to God, and sometimes in very emotional and intense ways. But the most important lesson that I've learned is learning to pray persistently and not give up if the answer doesn't come right away. It's been through persistent praying that I have received the greatest desire of my heart, and it's through persistent prayer that I've been able to face the greatest challenge of our lives. After I came back to Christ, my deepest hope and my most persistent prayers were for my wonderful yet unbelieving husband to ask Jesus into his life. I wanted Dick to know God the way I did. So for the next 7 years, I prayed this prayer over and over. I'll admit there were many, many moments that when I thought it might never happen. But I never gave up praying, and today I stand before you overwhelmed at how God has answered my prayers. I know without a doubt it was the persistent praying, not just my prayers, but those of my family, my church family, the prayer team here at Saddleback, that God used to soften my husband's heart and bring him to know Christ. Pastor Rick has pointed out that people may reject our logic and our persuasion, but they are helpless against our prayers.
I started coming to Saddleback Church in 1991, primarily because I felt guilty that my wife was getting up on Sunday mornings and going to church while I stayed home and watched football. But the church had a pastor who, despite what some people might consider an interesting taste in shirts, but he had a message of substance that reached my soul, and it was delivered with a style that kept me coming back. As we all know, our pastor has a very modest vision. He simply wants to communicate the message of Jesus to every last human being on the face of the earth. My testimony isn't like most testimonies we hear, powerful stories of how someone overcame child abuse, or a bad relationship with a parent or a spouse or a drug or alcohol problem. The only thing I had to overcome was a case of near terminal skepticism. When it came to spiritual issues, I was a first-class skeptic. And looking back, I'm certain that only prayer had the power to overcome my skepticism and intellectual blocks that kept me from Christ. But last year, God got my attention. To paraphrase Charles Dickens, for me, 1997 was the best of years and it was the worst of years. It was the best of years because in July, after 6 years of searching and after 7 years of praying by my wife, my daughter, my son, and many others, I finally accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But 1997 was the worst of years because of a financial crisis and then a major health crisis that I had to face. I don't know why it took me so long to make a decision for Jesus, but it seemed that my skeptical nature just kept getting in the way.
During Dick's 6-year spiritual search, I noticed that he read virtually nothing but Christian literature. He listened only to Christian music. And this just didn't make sense. Why would an unbeliever be so focused? Why would such a person not only attend church, but look forward to it with such enthusiasm every week? I knew that these were powerful indications that God was going to answer my prayers. I just didn't know how and when. Even though he would come to church with me, Dick just couldn't make the jump. He couldn't step across the line. And it seemed that every time he got close, something would happen. Usually something small and in retrospect insignificant. But nevertheless, he went through setback after setback until I reached the point where I thought it would never happen. One particular night I remember, as we sat in a restaurant after church discussing spiritual things, ironically with a new believer that my husband was instrumental in bringing to the Lord, Dick seemed unwilling even to say that God was the creator. I saw this as a giant step backward. And as I thought, this man just doesn't get it, the tears fell. I doubted that my prayers were having any effect at all, and I was very discouraged. But I knew I couldn't stop praying. And somehow, these times of frustration were always followed by God's promise that he was listening. And so I kept on praying, thanking God in faith.
In June and July of last year, I began to face several personal crises that about overwhelmed me. These problems involved potential financial harm and possibly even ruin, and I was under enormous stress and pressure at that time. One night, July 12, 1997 to be exact, these pressures had reached their peak. So on that night, I went into an extra room in our home, and I got down on my knees, and I began to pray. I prayed for about 30 minutes. I'd never prayed aloud before in my life, but this was a serious situation calling for serious attention. As I poured my stress out to God, I began to cry. And then I said, "Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive my sins and come into my life." As a skeptic, I was concerned that I had made that decision while I was in a crisis. But I soon realized that it doesn't matter to God how one becomes his child. It only matters that you turn to him. Just a little over 2 months after I made the decision for Jesus, my doctor told me that a CAT scan showed that I had a cancerous tumor on my kidney, that he would have to take my kidney out. A few days later, another test result showed that the cancer had spread from my kidney to my lung, and they'd have to take out part of my lung along with the kidney. So I had the operation October 1st of 1997. This really wasn't the best news I'd ever received. But I did have the advantage that my wife is the coordinator of the crisis prayer chain. So my name hit the prayer line in record time. Frankly, I would have expected that this news, the news of this cancer, would have shattered my newfound faith. But instead, during this, the worst of times, I felt the presence of God like never before. It's too early to tell if the treatment that I've had for my cancer is going to be effective in the long term. So as I stand here today, I can't tell you that I've won the physical and medical side of this battle. But I can tell you that I've already won the spiritual side of the contest. I have no interest in dying soon. I have much to live for. And I intend to continue to fight this battle with all the strength that God can give me. But because of Jesus Christ, and because my wife and many others persisted in praying for me for many long years, I am ready. I am prepared to go. It's a paradox of sorts, but without Jesus in my life, I wasn't ready to die. With Jesus in my life, I am ready to die, but I have more reason to live than ever before.
In closing, I'd like to say a word of encouragement to some of you. If you have been praying for someone that you love to find Christ, and it hasn't happened as quickly as you'd like, don't give up. Be persistent. Keep praying, because God is using your prayers in ways you cannot see. Thank you.
Let me ask you, who is it in your life, that person that you love, that you care about, who doesn't know Jesus Christ, and you are praying for persistently? Who's on your list to pray every day that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, I don't have any list. You don't have a list? You call yourself a Christian, and you're not praying for anybody? That's worse than highway robbery. We've got the best news in the world, and you're not praying anybody's going to find it? Do you not love anybody? Do you not have family members, friends, co-workers who are headed for hell right now, and you don't care enough to pray for them persistently every day? What are you thinking? We're talking about eternity in the balance here, folks. People are going to go to heaven or hell. Jesus said so. So you better take this one serious. As an act of love, you better start making a list for people who don't know Christ, friends, loved ones, co-workers, that you're praying for every day, that they'll come to know Jesus. Because as Carolyn said, they're helpless against our prayers.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime, or you can download the Daily Hope podcast on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Rick will be back in a moment with a final word, so please stay with us. We want to tell you about the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, by Pastor Rick Warren. In it, Rick takes you to the Bible for answers of 12 of life's toughest challenges, drawing from the examples of different biblical characters that face the same issues. He offers concise, practical, eye-opening insights that you can understand and apply right away, allowing you to move past hardships and experience a life of purpose and significance. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And over all that time, I couldn't count the number of people that I've talked to, and the number one questions that people ask, they've come to me, they come back over and over and over again. I've noticed that people tend to ask the same questions. All of these common questions have common solutions, and they're all found in God's Word. So I sat down, and I took the most common questions that I've been asked over 45 years in ministry, and I began to answer them according to Scriptures. And I wrote a little book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. It provides simple, straightforward answers that you can apply right away. In fact, this will get you the answers to probably questions you're asking yourself right now. You say, well, what are those questions? Well, let me just give you a few of them. How do I cope with stress? Have you ever asked that one? How do I rebound from a failure? Have you ever asked that one? How can I be more confident in the crisis that I'm going through? How do I live above average? Why is this happening to me? How can I overcome loneliness? And how do I change the things that I want to change in my life? Well, I answer those questions in this book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You'll discover the simple truths that God has given to us from His Word. And it's just my way of saying thank you for supporting Daily Hope with your financial gifts.
Let us send you a copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, today as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Request yours today by going to PastorRick.com or texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. And thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.